brought to you by Penguin.
One Man and His Bike. Written and read by me, Mike Carter. Prologue. A fairground booth in Skegness, Lincolnshire. "I can see you are restless, a free spirit," says the fortune teller, "but soon you will need to go home." Chapter 1. I thought of that while riding my bike. Albert Einstein on the theory of relativity. "Eres un imbécil," said Simon. "Eres demasiado viejo para hacer algo como esto." "Eh?" I answered. "You can't even speak Spanish," he said. "I'm learning. Tapes." "How long? How long have you been learning?" "A few months," I said. This was a lie. It had been a couple of weeks. "And you're moving to Buenos Aires next month?" "Sí. No going back now." He took a sip of his pint. "Okay. Seeing as we're in a pub and seeing as you're on your sixth pint, how would you say, I am pissed in Spanish?" "Easy. Soy un borracho." "That means I am a drunk. In Spanish, there's a distinction between the permanent and the impermanent. Kind of important, pretty basic." Simon turned away to see what was happening in the match on TV. "Pretty basic," I muttered under my breath. "What?" he said. "Nothing." "You've never even been to Buenos Aires," he said.
"So?"
"Why there?"
"I don't know," I said. "I've heard it's a great place to live. Got to be better than here.
Is that a good enough reason?"
"Aren't you worried you'll get lonely? Won't you miss Britain? Friends?"
"Miss Britain?" I said. "You kidding me? Have you taken a look around lately?"
We both took a drink of our pints. Silence. "Got anywhere to live?" Simon said eventually.
"No."
"Know anybody? Contacts?"
"Nope."
"Job lined up?"
I shook my head.
"You're skint. What will you do for money?"
"I'll work in a bar, be a waiter. Something will come up. It always does."
"Mike," said Simon, his voice taking on the concerned tone of a father telling his son that Santa doesn't exist. "You're 45. Taking off to another country on the other side of the world where you don't speak the language and don't know anybody would be hard at 25. But 45? Madness. Don't you think it's time you stopped?"
Well, what?
Running away?"
Chapter 2. It would not be at all strange if history came to the conclusion that the perfection of the bicycle was the greatest incident of the 19th century. Anonymous. I pulled up at a red light on the embankment on my usual bicycle commute to work. "Me llamo Michel," said language guru Michel Thomas through my earphones. "¿Cómo te llamas?"
"Me llamo Mike," I said.
"¿Todavía quieres hacerlo?" asked Thomas.
"No quiero hacerlo ahora," I said.
"¿Por qué no?" Thomas asked. I turned off my iPod. A woman crossed the road, giving me the look reserved in London for people talking to themselves on bicycles in bad Spanish. Fear, contempt. The lights went green. I pedalled on. Simon's comments had touched a nerve. Not the bits about being a dreamer or my rubbish Spanish. They were indisputably true, but about running away. Riding a bicycle is made for thinking. I thought about my life. When I was young, my family had always been on the move. Different cities, different houses. By the time I was 11, I'd been to 4 different schools. I remember being upset about it at first, but losing friends and teachers and a base became so routine that somewhere along the line I must have developed an indifference to everything. I was 13 when my parents split up. I took to the railways, sleeping on trains and station platforms, sometimes staying away from home for several days at a time. If it wasn't trains, I'd get on my bicycle and just ride for hours and hours. Where I went wasn't...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?